Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a Monday, and wildfires are burning more than a million acres of land throughout the western United States. They've killed almost three dozen people on the west coast of America, including people who've died in Oregon and have died in Washington. And unfortunately, the mainstream media is choosing to use this opportunity to push out a lot of myths to people and give them false information. We've already debunked the idea that we're in the middle of a 30-year drought. Not true. We're also debunking the idea that this is the result of climate change, although the governors of both Oregon and Washington have come out on television over the last several days and said this is climate change. In fact, Joe Biden has called Donald Trump a climate arsonist. Kate Brown has said that this is climate change. And of course, Jay Inslee, Climate Jay, who failed in his efforts to try to get a cap and trade process put in place because the voters said no to it, is actually calling these climate fires instead of wildfires. Well, the guy who really knows wildfires is Dr. Bob Zybak, who I called on last week, and I'm going to call on him again today. He's the author of The Great Fires, Indian Burning and Catastrophic Forest Fire Patterns of the Oregon Coast Range, 1491 to 1951. Almost a 500-year period of time that you studied. Dr. Zybak, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Lars. It's good to be back.
This has got to be driving you nuts that you hear a lot of things being said on the news that you know are not true. Do you want to start with some of your favorites?
I think when the governor of California walked through a forest fire and he said, this is obviously climate change, it did piss me off. It's getting ridiculous. Having all these governors blame the climate, which has been the same for about 500 years, as being responsible for mismanagement of our public forests is a real stretch and real politics.
And in fact, you even saw somebody was pushing out the idea that at one point in history, there was a 1.5 million acre fire that happened, what, in the early... Was it the late 1800s or early 1900s?
That's a Silverton fire, and that's pretty much a myth. It's probably more like about 100,000 acres. But we've had fires this large on the Coast Range in the 1800s, and then the Tillamook fires weren't this large overall, but were just as explosive in the 1930s. But for the period of time in which the climate was the same from 1952 to 1987, we had a single fire on the coast of any magnitude at all, and that was it. And that's when they were actively managing our federal forest lands.
And by the way, I always like to translate that actively managing because people hear it and they don't necessarily know what it means. What you mean is they were actually logging and then having logged, clearing out the debris, burning the debris, and then planting a brand new forest. Is that what active management is in sort of simple terms?
Yes, and maintaining good road access, I would add to that. And I think we need improved reforestation practices, but all of the above.
Okay, and when you say improved reforestation, Doctor, I always remind people that in the 1940s, I think it became federal law that you had to replant lands. I mean, there might have been exceptions here and there, but for the most part, if you logged an area, you had to go back in and replant the trees, right?
Yep, and I did that for, that was my first career for 20-some years. My crews planted about 85,000 acres. I planted a couple million trees, and even at the time, I was thinking we were putting in too many trees. We were going through old berry patches, old meadows, prairie lands that were fire breaks on the land. We were going into areas that had 30 trees an acre, 18 trees an acre, and we were putting in 300 trees an acre. So that just creates a solid carpet of fuels, and that's one of the problems I think we're having is that we've got too many trees in the environment now.
What do you think is, I mean, you're a guy who has a PhD in forest science. What would cause bureaucrats or someone to make the decision to jam a piece of land with too many trees and make this deep, crowded forest that's going to generate a lot of fuel on the forest floor and be very susceptible to fire? Why would they want to do that? Do you have any idea?
Well, I think the regulations go back to the 1940s, like we're saying, and they it was a cash crop. We were coming out of the Depression. We were coming out of World War II, and people wanted to grow as get as much corn yield as they could per acre. So the idea was to put in Douglas fir trees in western Oregon and put in hundreds of them an acre in the hopes of making a lot more money that way, a lot more stems per acre, and then also to account for more pallet.
Now, that would explain the private acreage, but what about the federal forest? Did they also jam the federal forest up that way? Because I know that I've driven along highways, and I know when I'm in the middle of a federal or state forest, sometimes I know where we are on the map in terms of who owns the land, and I'll look at them, and you look through them, and it looks like a bunch of sticks that are all 6 inches apart. I know that may be my eyeballs fooling me, but when you see a forest jammed like that, and it's on federal land, do they have the same kind of motivation? We want to have as many trees as we can because when the federal forests are cut, that also generates money?
Well, there's two factors. One is the first answer is yes, they just followed the industrial model and started putting in trees everywhere because that seemed to be the way to go. But another problem is by letting the lands lay fallow, you get a lot of seeding. So where you've got areas which may have had 12 or 15 trees an acre, and then they're untended. There's no prescribed fire or any method for thinning them out. You get 150 or 200 stems an acre, and then you've got a solid canopy, and you've got ladder fuels, then you've got crown fires, and then you have what we have today.
Would you mind explaining ladder fuels and crown fires for the people listening? Overstory and understory and all that good stuff.
Sure. Ground fires are the ones that move along the ground. And in a forest environment, they can clear out around the trees. A ladder fuel is what allows the fire on the ground to climb up into the canopy of the trees. When trees are close together and the fire gets up into the canopy, that's a crown fire. And then it can move on the wind or create its own weather, and it kills the trees. So you get explosions of trees like we've got now.
Now, what about this myth that some have been pushing that, well, these fires, these big fires, they burn 600-year-old trees? Any truth to that at all?
I guess it would be if there's a few 600-year-old trees there. We've seen that there's a lot of literature that says there's 600- and 800-year-old trees. It's peer-reviewed with quotes around it from Oregon State on the coast, but there's not been a single 600-year-old tree ever documented on the Coast Range. Trees get that old.
Did they ever really get that old? I mean, look, I know in theory they can grow that long, but what's the typical life of a Douglas fir?
Less than 10 years. Okay. They get shaded out when they're young, but if they're allowed to grow old, they go up to about, on the coast, it's different than the Cascades. They grow slower in the Cascades, slower in the Olympics, slower in British Columbia. But on the coast, they grow up to about 200, 240 years of age, and then they start deteriorating. So you get 180 or 200-year-old trees that are just becoming what we call old growth, and they're pretty darn healthy for the most part. But then they get 250, 300, 350. They start getting rot, tops blown out, hit by lightning, diseases, and barely make it past 400 to 500 years of age if there's no fire or windstorm or landslide or flood.
So you can have some areas that have that kind of old growth in it. What would be a healthy forest? Let it get to 65, 70 years at most and then cut them and replant?
That's an economics question more than a biological question. If you get the land clear, you're going to have more diversity, more wildflowers, more berries, more songbirds, more deer, elk, bear. But if you let the trees go to 60 or 80 or 100 years, you get more of a biological desert.
Yeah, because down on the forest floor, there's not much sunlight and there's not much to eat. Dr. Bob Zibag with us, forest scientist and the author of The Great Fires that covered almost a 500-year period. Coming up, new evidence shows eating at a restaurant doubles your chances of catching China virus.